Then the third possession is another three-pointer from the right wing. He lets it go. This time, magic. The ball goes in. The place explodes. I'm thinking to myself, God must be a basketball fan. Not only has Jason scored, he's got a three-pointer. It can't get any better than this, right? Wrong. For the next 3 minutes, J-Mac turns into his boyhood idol, the late, great Kobe Bryant. He starts making shot after shot. And the two things I'll never forget, with a minute to go, at this point, I have no idea how many points he's got. And I get a tap on my shoulder. I'm still crying. I look behind me. It's Jason's mother, and she's bawling her eyes out. She whispers in my ear, "Coach, this is the best gift you could have ever given my son." Of course, I cried harder. I was so touched.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Baubert Marketing, LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to Rochester Business Connections. I am here with Coach Jim Johnson. Coach, how are we doing this morning?
Doing awesome. Good to see you, Ben. Looking forward to our talk together.
I'm looking forward to it as well, because you're a speaker, you're an educator, you're an author, and ultimately have inspirational stories and a lot of experience to impart on the audience. So I'm excited to hear it personally. I want to get started with that, you know, that moment that many of us saw, the J-Mac moment, mm-hmm. where I don't want to tell the story because I'll butcher it. tell us who J-Mac is for anybody who, you know, missed that moment. I know I personally was glued to the TV mm-hmm. when it happened and I first saw it on the news. Coach, who's J-Mac and what's your relationship to him?
Yeah, so J-Mac, his regular name was Jason McElwain. Actually, I tagged him the nickname J-Mac because I had such a difficult time pronouncing his last name. And kind of the funny thing is probably a lot of the kids in the school didn't know his real name because it really kind of fired around that his nickname was J-Mac. But J-Mac was a young man that tried out for our basketball program at Grease Athena High School his sophomore year. He's on the autism spectrum. He's also learning disabled. And Jason tried out for the JV team. I was the varsity coach, didn't make the team, but my JV coach really loved his heart and his passion for basketball and our program. So he offered him the team manager job and he let him practice with the team. And he did that. And Jason, what was really unique about Jason was not that he was learning disabled, he was on the autism spectrum, was the fact that he didn't make the team, but yet between his sophomore and junior, he tried out, or he came to all our off-season workouts to try to make the varsity, the team I coached. And he did that. And I started to really develop a bond with him. And I could see just... I fell in love. He just had so much passion and desire. So he tried out for the varsity as a junior, didn't make the team, but he served as our team manager. And during that time, ironically, I had been a pretty successful coach at Grease Athena for the boys' basketball team, but I had a huge stumbling block, and that was we kept losing in our postseason, what we call our sectional tournament. In fact, going into Jason's junior, I'd taken two different programs to the sectional semifinals for a total of five times. So Jason's junior, when he served as our team manager, he developed this mantra that we're going to stay focused. We're going to help coach win his first sectional championship. Well, lo and behold, for the sixth time in my career, we got to the semifinal and we lost at the buzzer to our crosstown rival, Grease Arcadia. We were devastated. That wasn't going to stop J-Mac. He's more bound and determined. Again, came to all our off-season workouts, tried out his senior year. And when I brought him in the office during tryouts, I said, "Jason, I got some good news and some bad news." And he said, "Well, give me the bad news first. I said, well, unfortunately, you're not quite good enough to make the team again. And this time he's visibly disappointed. His head dropped down. Mm-hmm. But I said, I do have some good news. And that is we're going to offer you an opportunity to wear a uniform on senior night, which is our final home game. And I'm hoping I can get you in the game. And as a kid, people periodically would ask me about that uniform during the season. And of course, I defined periodically as about every other day. He was really excited.
Sure.
Well, his senior, I thought that might be the year that we'd break the Section 5 championship barrier because we had a really good team. But after our first two games where we won a tournament, we had adversity strike. And I wrote a book called The Coach of Miracle about it, which it's a long story, so I'm not going to get into it, other than the fact that it just really divided our team. And this team that was supposed to be really good really went in a tailspin. We lost three out of our next five games. And I knew I had to do something. So we were playing in a Christmas tournament at Fairport High School, which is the biggest high school in Rochester. And they were really good that year. And after the first round, we won and Fairport won. I brought them in the gym the next day, what we call a shoot-around when we have a game but we don't have school that day. But I shocked them. I did something that I started to really, because I really had to go through all my leadership tools to try to unite this team. And I told them in our meeting that I didn't want to go to the game tonight. And they were like in disbelief. What do you mean? You're the coach. And I said, well, unless we decide we're going to be a team. But the best thing I did after that, Ben, was for the next 45 minutes, we didn't get any balls out. I just asked them to open up and let us know how we were going to unite. And finally they started. And that was really the turning point. Because that night we played a great game. We did not beat Fairport. We lost to win overtime and show what we could do. And we got hot after that. Won 8 of our next 9 games going into senior night, which is on February 15th. I gave J-Mac his first jersey on February 13th. In fact, there was a rumor going around school that he slept in it for 2 straight nights. He was pretty excited.
Yeah.
And then that game happened. And I'll never forget, before the game, we always honor our seniors and we bring their parents and guardians. But this night was profoundly touching to see J-Mac embrace his parents in his uniform instead of in his white shirt and black tie, which he normally wore to games. It was certainly very touching to me. Well, the game begins, and we had a good student body following. In fact, there's some good YouTube videos. ESPN did a really nice one that I show often as part of my presentations. But we had a good student body following. They started chanting in the opening tap, "We want J-Mac," I guess just in case I forgot. Well, after 3 quarters of the game, we got everybody in but Jason. With just over 4 minutes to go, I got him in, and the place just exploded. In fact, I'm usually a pretty macho guy, but what I didn't know is one of our parents made all these pictures of Jason's face, these like placards, and gave them to the student body. And when Jason entered the game, Jason and I both did not know this, they showed all these pictures. And I got so overwhelmed with emotion, I sat down and tears actually started to flow down my face. Mm. Well, Jason's now in his first varsity game. First time he touches the ball, he has a 3-pointer from the right corner. He lets it go. The crowd stands in anticipation. It misses by like 6 feet. I kid people. I know you're not supposed to pray in the public schools, but I just pray, dear God, please help him get one basket. Well, the next possession was a much closer shot, and this time it hit the backboard and hit the rim. And I thought, all right, God's starting to listen. We're getting closer. Then the third possession is another 3-pointer from the right wing. He lets it go. This time, magic. The ball goes in. The place explodes. I'm thinking to myself, God must be a basketball fan. Not only has Jason scored, he's got a 3-pointer. It can't get any better than this, right? Wrong. For the next 3 minutes, J-Mac turns into his boyhood idol, the late, great Kobe Bryant. He starts making shot after shot. And the 2 things I'll never forget, with a minute to go, at this point, I have no idea how many points he's got. And I get a tap on my shoulder. I'm still crying. I look behind me. It's Jason's mother, and she's bawling her eyes out. She whispers in my ear, "Coach, this is the best gift you could have ever given my son." Of course, I cried harder. I was so touched. And then the game ends like it's a storybook movie ending. Spencer Port, our opponent, scores with about 10 seconds to go. And I want to give kudos to their coach and their players. They were great sports that night. But our player takes it out. Normally he throws it right to our point guard, but this time he throws it to J-Mac, and he's dribbling down. I thought he would just go in and make a short shot and the game would end. Oh, no, he pulls up like 2 feet behind the arc, almost an NBA three. I'm thinking, Jason, don't shoot from there. That's way too far. He launches this rainbow. Swish. I look over. Our student body runs on the floor. Our players run on the floor. And they – you know, embrace him, and they put him up on his shoulders, and it was just bedlam. And I'll never forget, he's got the ball, game ball over his head. He's on his teammate's shoulders, and our public address announcer comes on, and the leading scorer for the Trojans tonight, J-Mac, with 20 points. And with my math brain, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, for you to play the whole game, he scored 160 because he scored 20 points in less than 4 minutes. So it was – truly the most remarkable thing in my coaching career. And interesting enough, just to kind of put a cherry on top of the story, is 3.5 weeks later, in front of a sold-out arena at the Brewcross Arena, we actually won our first Section 5 championship. And J-Mac actually had to go back as our team manager, but he served very well, and it was just a really, really special season. But very unique in the sense that I had some of the most difficult part of my coaching career early in the season, and then certainly J-Mac's game is the greatest thing that ever happened to me in coaching. And then winning a Section 5 championship was kind of the cherry on top.
Wow. Well, congratulations. Obviously an amazing story.
Thank you.
And you mentioned the book. Is this story in the book as well?
Yes. So that story goes through. We wrote it as a life lesson. I actually teamed with a former classmate that's a local newspaper writer. We were real proud. He has two sons on the autism spectrum, so the story touched him deeply. And it's called A Coach and a Miracle. It is on Amazon, but if I actually have it on a discount right now on my website, coachjimjohnson.com. If anybody orders it from there, I'll sign it, and we also give a complimentary bookmark as well.
Love it. Love it. I need to read the book. And Coach, what are you up to these days? Are you still coaching high school? What? Tell me about the story from then to now.
Yeah. So after that, I actually stayed in coaching for 10 more years. And we actually had the greatest success. One of the things, I do a lot of leadership talks. And one of the questions I often get is, how do you get to the top? And then the second question, which is probably more difficult, is how do you stay at the top? Because in our last 11 years in coaching that year, and then 10 more, we actually made the Section 5 finals for 8 of those 11 and won 6. So that was kind of my break the barrier 4-minute mile. And then I decided, because I started to speak part-time and I wrote this book, and I decided that I was going to retire from coaching. In fact, J-Mac came back and helped me for the last 9 years. So it was really neat because I was seeing him almost every single day. And so I retired from everything teaching and coaching in 2016. And now I'm speaking professionally full time.
Got it. Yeah. So let's ask that question. How do you get to the top, Coach?
Well, I have a whole system in place. So, I'll give you a really quick backstory. At 25 years old, I was named as a head coach of a school about 20 minutes from where I grew up. And I thought I was, you know, I'd been an assistant for a few years, and my teams had done well as an assistant. And I thought, I know everything about coaching. Well, I did such a great job with that team that I led them to 17 consecutive losses. And then they let me go after that season. So it was really humbling. But those two things are really I gained from that. It ended up being one of the best things that happened in my professional career because it woke me up. It made me realize that I had a lot to learn about coaching and leadership. And I started really my journey of starting to study that. I also got an opportunity the next year to work with Bill Van Gundy, that was a local college coach that if your followers follow basketball. His two sons have been head coaches in the NBA. In fact, his son Stan right now is the head coach of the Pelicans. And he helped me get back on my feet, but I really wanted to be a high school coach. So after that, I got back into high school, and that's where I stayed pretty much the rest of my career. And going to answer your question specifically, so I started to determine these keys to developing leading teams. And I can go through those if you'd like. You want to do that?
Sure.
Okay, so the seven keys. The first one is clarifying your vision. And to me, that's 2 points. Number one is the ability to clarify your own personal mission, which I highly recommend, and I take people to do with some of my programs and in individual coaching on how you can do your own personal mission statement, because I believe you discover it. And my mission statement, by the way, is to be an outstanding role model that makes a positive difference in the world by helping others make their dreams come true. And when I gain clarity about myself, because I always tell leaders the first person you got to lead is yourself. So it's really important that you have clarity about what you're all about and trying to live it consistently. And then secondly is developing the business or the program, in our case, basketball program, that mission that we're going to try to work together to accomplish. And for us, it was to develop winners on and off the court. My job was to define what a winner was on the court and off the court, because it wasn't just winning the games, although that was very measurable, but it was really trying to build this culture. The second thing is in my leadership that is so essential is that building trust. And one of the things I really recommend to leaders is that they should think about, do you have a plan on how you're going to consistently build trust with your team? Because if you don't, if trust gets frayed or even destroyed, a team can't succeed. There's no way. So I really have a trust plan. We can delve in that a little bit deeper if you want, but we'll go on to the other keys first. The third one is what I call creating an edge. And I think as a leader, you're always striving to find ways to create an edge. And one of the things that we always did was we spent time teaching our guys how to do goal setting. In fact, I do a goal setting workshop from all the things that we did with goal setting. And the other thing is I believed in creating an edge. Another example would be using other voices. Like I was, one of the things that I was a little bit ahead of my time, I can't say I was ahead of my time with all my things, but was that I hired a strength coach. Now it's pretty much common, but back years ago it was not. And that really helped our teams develop, to get stronger, which helped the, you know, having that great run at the end of my career. The fourth key is effective communication. And it's always good to be able to present your ideas and be, you know, someone that you can present to your team. But as important as that is, the most important thing about effective communication, and boy, I really learned from that season, is really developing to become a great listener. And that's something I take a lot of pride in, although early in my career, it was not a strength of mine at all. The fifth key is an obvious one, but we forget. And that is lead by example. As we used to always tell our players, that you are always on stage. People are always watching you. And when they're not, they still are. So it's really important that you are cognizant of leading consistently by example. The sixth one is what I call my leadership philosophy, and that's called leave a profit. And simply in our ideas, we're trying to define our players. Our philosophy is everything we touch, we want to make better, not worse. Or in other words, everything we touch, we want to turn to gold, not garbage. And that's what we try to build. And I give it like a quick illustration. When we go to another team's school for a game, when we'd walk in the locker room, if I saw a piece of trash in the locker room where we were dressed, I would pick it up and throw it out, because again, we were trying to build that philosophy. And then the last one, is seventh key, is servant leadership, which to me is the essence of leadership. And really that comes down to a couple things. It's flipping the leadership pyramid where your mindset is, how can I serve my team members instead of them serving you? And then the second part is, I think it's really important, if you're an excellent leader, you're developing leadership skills and developing leaders on your team. Because when you have a group of leaders, then you got something special. So those are seven keys.
Huge. Have you always been a leader, coach? Did you learn the hard way? Were you a leader when you were younger? What brought you into being so passionate about coaching and leadership and serving
others? Well, I did grow up in a sports background. In fact, my dad was my high school basketball coach. So I do have a real background. And I got to say, as a kid, I was one of the guys that kind of organized background games and backyard games, I should say. And, I was kind of someone that did take some leadership. But after I lost that job early in my career, I realized I still had a lot to learn about leadership. The great thing I believe about leadership is in fact, I always encourage people that want to become better leaders. I say these two words: study leadership, learn as much as you can, and implement with your own system of how you can be the most effective leader. There's a lot of different ways to be a great leader, but you really got to keep learning and growing, which I think is so important to be an effective leader.
I love it. I wrote that down, study leadership. Yeah. And I'll tell you, coach, ultimately a big part of why I host this podcast is because I talk to great leaders. I talk to business owners and entrepreneurs that are doing incredible at their business, at what they do, at inspiring people. So this is kind of my way to study leadership and learn from entrepreneurs that are already far more successful than I am. I'm wondering, is there any specific leaders or mentors or people that you study, that you look up to as just great sources of education on how to be a good leader?
Sure. So from the sports, the guy early in my career, actually when I was a kid and then early in my career, was John Wooden, the late, great John Wooden from UCLA. I ended up reading and listening to as much information about him. And then I started studying some other successful NBA and college coaches. I would read their books. But also, I was so fascinated by leadership that I expanded. One of my favorite personal growth guys is a guy named Jim Rohn. He passed away about a decade ago, R-O-H-N. I've listened to a lot of his programs. I love John Maxwell. I've listened to a lot of his audio programs as well as read numerous books. Another business guy I really like is a guy named Patrick Lencioni that's written a number of books. He is out of the Bay Area. He runs a group called The Table Group. He has a podcast as well. And I listen to his podcast. I've read a number of his books. So those are some. And I guess the most influential as far as probably one of my all-time favorite reads was Dr. Stephen Covey, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. That really started my leadership journey. It helped me immensely. And I really admired. In fact, one of my dreams was when I got into speaking, I wanted to speak for Franklin Covey. My dream half came true because I did get a chance to speak at the Global Summit. Unfortunately, it was after Dr. Covey had passed away. I did meet a couple of his brothers and a couple of his children, but that was kind of my dream to meet him. And I got half of it. I did get a chance to speak at their Global Seminar.
Well, yeah, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Lots of great people you just mentioned. I'm pretty sure it's a Jim Rohn quote. He says, you're the average of the six people you spend the most time with.
It is, yep.
And I think about that, and I think about all the educators and leaders you just mentioned. A lot of people have excuses. I have plenty of my own, especially being locked up at home. It's like, okay, so I'm the average of my family these days. There's a beautiful thing nowadays. We call it the internet. We call it books, where you can surround yourself with mentors and leaders and educators without actually knowing them and still spend time listening to their message, watching their videos, hearing them on podcasts, hearing their podcast. And we live in a beautiful time where the information and education's there, where we can do what Jim Rohn said and surround ourselves with, the six people that we surround ourselves with the most are the most influential people on us. So why not pick up a Stephen Covey book? Why not pick up your book and listen, see you speak, and start surrounding ourselves around leaders, which is great. Not to go on a tangent here, but.
No, it's well said, Vic. You know, one of the guys that I've started to study, I've read some of his books, and he's got a lot of YouTube videos. Is Simon Sinek is another one that he's a wonderful speaker, and he always is very thought-provoking. He really stimulates my thinking every time I listen to it. He has a podcast as well, so I listen to his podcast sometimes. And but you're absolutely right. Like, you know, I've had various mentors educationally and coaching a little bit, but my biggest mentors are the people that I study that most of them I never met.
Absolutely. Again, Simon Sinek, he's the why guy. Start
right.
With why.
Yep.
Great TED Talk. If anyone hasn't seen the Start
absolutely.
With Why TED Talk, you kind of addressed it in your mission statement, Coach. But what is your why? You know, if you were to start with why, more than just what you do, why do you do it? Well, what's your purpose in life these days?
Well, you know, my major purpose, and this is as I really started to try to discover why I was put on this earth, is I realized that I could help inspire and motivate. And, you know, my strengths are building teams and being, you know, teaching people how to be a more effective leader and inspiring people. So my real goal right now is to really find different ways to inspire people to think bigger, because I believe we all can do a lot more than we think we can. I'm not one of these guys that, you know, is going to tell somebody that's never played basketball that you can play in the NBA. You know, I'm not unrealistic in that sense. But I do believe that all of us, we can do more than we think we can. And that's part of my job is someone that's a motivator, inspiring. And then the other thing is my experiences, my trials and tribulations of building teams for over 30 years, that now I want to give back and share leadership ideas and share ideas on how you can build a great team, whether it's a business team or an athletic team or, you know, we're in teams in almost every area in our life. But a lot of people just don't really know how to lead a team. And that's where I want to fill that void and help people with that.
Absolutely. And I played basketball when I was younger, but assume I didn't. And I kind of have an inclination as to where you'd go with an answer like this. But imagine I don't play sports, not interested in it at all, never have been. What you've learned in athletics and coaching, every single concept, it can translate to my business as well, right? It doesn't have to be exclusive to sports. Well, what are some of the things you've learned in athletics that you could teach a business and you wouldn't even have to mention the word basketball at all?
Right. Well, you know, going back to like having a trust program. So that, you know, I'll give you my three ideas that we did. But I think you got to develop how can you build trust. And the three ideas that we really try to build our foundation was, one is to tell the truth, be consistent, we're going to lie to each other. Number two is being willing to be vulnerable, that we would open up to each other and share things and sometimes tell people things they didn't want to hear. But, you know, not trying to crush anybody, but to really share so that there's no real surprises, you know. And then the third part is really trying to catch people doing the right thing. You know, I learned that from Ken Blanchard's book, The 1 Minute Manager, many years ago. And I really tried to adapt that in our philosophy and developing trust. And so I think that's a hugely important thing in any type of team. If you don't have trust, you don't have, you're really in deep trouble. Another thing that, you know, we certainly can learn in a lot of areas of life, and certainly it's come up, you know, with the pandemic here the last year, is the essence of perseverance, that never give up mindset, to find ways, because that's what happens. You know, I mean, it took me 20 years before, you know, as a head coach, before we won our first sectional championship, then we took off. I was reading about John Wooden, a lot of people, you know, that are followed basketball, that he took over UCLA in 1948. Their first national championship was in 1964. Mm-hmm. So he was kind of not known. And then all of a sudden, in his last 12 years, they won 10. You know, so another great book that I really is reinforced is of the ability called "Good to Great" by Jim Collins, where he does a lot of research, and which leads to my point. Another thing that's really important in business, athletics, you name it, is do you have a plan of the ideal people to be on your team? Because, you know, any successful business, you got to have really good people. As you said with Jim Rohn, surrounding yourself with the right people is going to be an indication whether you're going down the right road or the wrong road. So, one of the things that when we talked about developing our team, we were looking for individuals. Now, certainly, I don't want to neglect this because people say, we did certainly look at players that, you know, had talent in basketball. I mean, that was important. Just like, you know, if you're hiring somebody that, you know, is going to do a website for you, and if they don't have any skill in that, that's the wrong person. But with that in mind, with the basketball talent and ability, we looked for three key areas. One, the drive, you know, the grit. Did they have the desire to consistently get better? Two, being humble. Were they coachable? Were they someone that could handle winning and losing and be able to respond to either one? And then the third one is what I call the we over me philosophy. You know, we were looking for people that were team first players. And how we did that is we analyzed a lot in the off season and observing our players scrimmages or in league games or when we had open gyms, and you just really observing, are these people, because we often would cut a player from our team that was actually better skilled than another player because he just couldn't fit our culture. And you got to be really cognizant of when you're picking a team, do you have the right people, you know, as Jim Collins says, on the bus? Because if you don't, the bus isn't going to run the right direction.
Without a doubt. All great stuff. And, you know, I appreciate all the knowledge. I always address Rochester. We've talked about the fact that you've coached Rochester Athletics many years of your life. Are you from here in Rochester, New York, or did you find your way here later on in life?
No, I did. I grew up in Greece, you know, the largest suburb of Rochester. I went to Greece Arcadia. Ironically, I ended up being the head coach at Greece Olympia and Greece Athena, so I kind of hit all the Greece schools. Yeah. But, you know, I went to college at SUNY Cortland, and when I came back, that was kind of my dream. I wanted to come back to my hometown. I didn't early in my career. I coached at a couple of different places, but then in my late 20s, I got an opportunity to get a full-time job and took over Greece Olympia before I went to Athena. So my dream did come true. I enjoyed growing up in Greece and got an opportunity to coach and teach for the majority of my career.
Yeah, and Rochester, I love it. That's why we always have a section on the show where we just talk about, you know, what you like to do for fun. One thing that's inspiring for me is, you know, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life, right? And it sounds like you found a profession that you genuinely are passionate about, which is always a huge thing. But I'm wondering, let's say you put work down and you're just out to have a good time. What in Rochester do you recommend before or after the pandemic or during it, really? But yeah. what in Western New York do you just do when you're kicking back and having fun?
Well, I'm not a super exciting guy anymore in the sense that I'm kind of a routine type guy. I've enjoyed Rochester a lot. I mean, my major hobby is tennis, which, you know, with the Rochester weather, I can't say is something ideally, but I belong to Midtown, which is a beautiful club. I was there for 10 years. And then after the pandemic, I decided I wanted to play on clay. So I just joined Tennis Club of Rochester because they have all clay courts, a little bit easier on the body. So that's one of the things. you know, I we haven't done, my wife and I, you know, we do like to go to dinner. We really, one of our favorite places is Red Fidelis, the Brook House in Greece. You know, we haven't done that very often since the pandemic, but you know, I do like to go out to dinner. My son, ironically, was big into musical theater. So he's in California now, but when he's home, we usually try to catch a show, which is very good for me because I was never someone that was really big into shows younger in my life, but now I enjoy them. Jersey Boys, I love the older music. So that was one of my favorites that when we got a chance to see that in Rochester. So, but, you know, it's interesting. I was reading something about in the newspaper the other day that in, I think it was in the middle 80s, one out of every seven people, adults, worked at Kodak, which is staggering because, you know, the demise of Kodak. But the thing is, you know, we've been able to fill the void with other things. You know, we just have a, you know, it's just a, it's a good working town. There's a lot of good people here. And, you know, I'm proud that I live there. I mean, I'm not a huge, you know, it's funny because I was not a skier, so I'm not a winter sports, but, you know, because my winter sports was always in the gym playing, you know, coaching basketball or playing basketball. So if it forgot to snow this year, I would be okay with that. I know a lot of my Rochester fellow citizens would not agree with that statement. So, but I've enjoyed living here, you know, my whole life.
Yeah, well, it's mid-January and we haven't really had any snow yet.
No. Let's keep that under the radar.
the only time in my life that I'm working from home, right? And I don't have to shovel. I'm used to having to wake up an hour early to shovel myself up, get the car, you know, warmed up, ready to go. The one year that I work from home, there's no snow. What's going on?
But I'm hoping we keep it that way. Although I know my skiing friends don't agree with me on that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, there's something weird about no snow in Rochester. But that's a whole new topic of why there wouldn't be snow. But I like to do a rapid fire round again, just short, sweet, either or questions. You can fill in the blank though, where we just get to know you a little bit better.
Sure.
Mornings, do you drink coffee or tea?
I'm a tea guy. I'm actually a green tea, though. I'm not a warm drink guy. I actually drink a cold green tea in the morning. So,
good stuff. Well, what about beer or wine? Do you drink alcohol?
You know what? I actually don't drink very much anymore, but definitely between the two, when I used to partake in drinking, it would be beer for sure.
Cool. Cats or dogs?
You know what? I'm not a big pet guy, although I know, but just when I went to college, we got our first dog. And so I would definitely take dogs over cats, but although I've not been a real pet owner.
Okay. What about mornings? Are you a morning person or a night owl?
You know, that's a really interesting question because early in my life, I would immediately said I'm a night owl. I used to love staying up late, you know, whether read or watch TV or whatever. You know, I like playing cards, so I would do that. But now my life, since it's changed, you know, with what I'm doing, I've actually become more where I will go to bed much earlier because I do like to get up early. I'm still not a super morning person in the sense that, you know, I pop right out of bed, but I really like getting things done in the morning now.
Yeah, I agree with that in the fact that I'm not a morning person, but I've kind of made myself one.
Yeah.
And I'm curious for a longer extension to the question, because I know you like systems, you like routines. Do you have a morning routine that helps you win the day? It's okay if you don't, but I'm just curious.
Yeah, you know, I did when I was, you know, teaching full time, I would do some certain things, but now I have what I call my daily five. And I do those, but not necessarily all in the morning. I'll give those real quick if you want. You know, I am a person of faith, so I pray every day. Secondly, I always take between 15 and 20 minutes. I have a meditation routine that I do. Thirdly, I do a goal setting exercise that I do in a goal setting journal that I write out. I think it's 14 goals. I do that consistently every day. Fourth is I exercise pretty much every single day. So like today I played tennis and I also did a walk before we did this interview. So I often, but some, like for example, tomorrow I have a morning meeting on Zoom. So I'm actually exercising in the afternoon, but that's an area where I will never, I shouldn't say never, but rarely ever miss. That's so important to me. And then I also have a goal setting little card thing that I do where I have a bunch of cards. I always start the day off, you know, talking about a little morning routine. There's two things I do consistently. When I wake up, I get my cards, and the first thing I say in front of a mirror is, I am responsible. I need to take charge of my life. And then I go through a couple other mantras and a few goals. And then the second thing is I always read a book. So I take 10 minutes and start the day by reading something if you start my mind off on a good start. So
it's good stuff. You've got a daily five. I think everybody should have their daily five. It doesn't have to be exactly what Coach does here, but I won't get into my morning routine. It's extensive, but I'm a huge advocate for if you win your morning or at least plan your day, you have a great opportunity to be successful. At the very least, win that daily five, and then rack up some wins at work and things that you don't expect as well.
Absolutely.
One final question. You know, we only had less than an hour here, and you're a wealth of information. Is there anything that I should have or would have asked you if I had known you a little bit better? Anything that we didn't touch on that would be a great way to end today?
Well, you know what? I guess I'd like to just finish because I think you did a terrific job. I mean, he asked a lot of different questions. What would be I'd like to just kind of share a challenge I have for everybody.
Okay.
Because we, you know, we've had a lot of turmoil in the last couple of years, especially the last year with, you know, a tough political situation. Certainly the pandemic has been very difficult on many, many people. So my challenge to everybody is I've done a lot of thinking and, you know, it's interesting, you know, Martin Luther King, you know, I really admire what he strived for in his life. And, you know, I Have a Dream is one of my all-time favorite, you know, speeches. But I just want to challenge everybody as we move into 2021 now is that let's really focus on being kinder to people and be respectful to all. I think that's something I just want to encourage everybody because I really believe the world is a better place when we have caring people about each, and it doesn't matter, you know, male or female, color of skin, you know, religious beliefs, you know, you go on. The bottom line is we're all people and we should treat all people with respect and share kindness with them.
Be kind and respect one another. So simple, so essential, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Lastly, how do I follow you? Are you on social media? Should I go to the website? Should I call? What's the best way to get in touch, read the book, have you speak at my event, anything like that?
Yeah, so the website has pretty much everything on it. It's coachjimjohnson.com. As I said, we have a discount on our book right now. We also do a monthly newsletter for free that you can sign up. We do a weekly blog that's also for free that you can sign up. We have, you know, some various things on that. And actually, you know, on there is I'm big in social media on Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook. I just started Instagram. I haven't quite figured that one out yet, but we're trying to work a little bit with that with my team. But yeah, so I, and actually on my social media, I do a post, I call it a success post every morning. And then I always do a afternoon post, or sometimes late morning, depending on my schedule, a leadership thought. And then we do have a YouTube channel where we share videos, a lot of information, you know, and we just try to help people. You know, that's the bottom line. So, you know, we try to supply that. And I do work with a lady named Kate Holgate that's wonderful. So if anybody's ever interested in one of we have pivoted. It was a little bit of a challenge at first, but we now are doing virtual presentations, and I'm really proud of what we're doing with them. And we, you know, we do have an inspirational talk. We have a leadership talk. We have a teamwork talk. We have another one that I do once in a while called the 10 Questions All Leaders Should Be Able to Answer. And I do a few workshops. I do a goal setting workshop, and I do a little bit of individual coaching for people that are looking for some one-on-one attention as well.
Good stuff.
And actually, lastly, I'll share this, Ben.
Yeah,
I'm excited to share with you is that I'm teamed with a local college professor. Her name is Dr. Renuma Kareem. And we're actually started the process about 2 months ago, and we're actually working on a book where our focus group is going to be for young and emerging leaders. So we're really excited about the work we're doing that, and we're looking forward to release. And we're hoping to be able to release it by the end of 2021. So,
well, love to hear it. I'm going to have to read that one. Coach, it's been awesome having you here today, and hopefully I'll talk to you real soon.
Sounds great, Ben. It was a pleasure, and keep up your great work, and we'll be in touch.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.